choose my way. I am beckoning to grace. You alone are my everything. Your love brings me to my knees. Brings me to my knees. Till the end of time, my soul surrender. And all the earth sing a mercy never ending, and I will all that is within me. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, King of heaven, yours is the glory. And all the earth sing a mercy never ending, and I will within me. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, King of heaven, yours is the glory. Oh, your love brings me to my knees, brings me to my knees, my King forever. You are all my heart desire till the end of time. My soul surrender to you, Jesus.
To be in church. Yes. The faithful ones are here. Oh, everybody's faithful. Some people just need the long weekend to enjoy and relax and have a vacation. I'm going to start by reading a scripture, pray, and then I'll get into my message. In James 4, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray this message will be life and health to all of us. Lord, I pray it'll enlighten our spirits, Lord. I pray it'll help us be victorious Christians in our life, Lord. I just pray that it'll affect everyone in this place, including me, Lord, today in a fresh and a new way, in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to share today something that kind of just popped out at me. I read that scripture, or I quoted that scripture last week in prayer time, and it just, man, it was just real to me. Last week and the week before, I seen something in the scriptures that I hadn't seen before, and you know, you can read scripture a million times, and then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. There's a while, you know, sometimes the light's off, but the light came on for me, and so I hope it comes on for you guys, but it certainly enlightened me, and I titled my message, Three Keys to Living a Victorious Life, and my 3 points, you know, are very, very simple. This is not a confusing message, and it's not a complicated one. But, you know, just 3 things stood out to me, and it's submit every area of your life to God, resist the devil, and to live close to God. And so I want to start with submit every area to your life to God. And, you know, I was thinking about this message and submitting, and then I got thinking about the UFC. I don't know if how many people know what the UFC is. Okay, so I got to break this down because there's not a lot of UFC. It's the Ultimate Fighting Championship, okay? And so that's a type of mixed martial arts that's competitive, that's kind of overtaken now. Boxing, everybody probably knows what boxing is. We could all put our hands up. But this is a mixed martial arts. And, you know, when I was thinking about this message, submitting, there's a lot of submitting that goes on in mixed martial arts. It used to be, it started out as a striking game, and then it just evolved into a very complex type of warring against somebody. And, you know, the strongest striker could get submitted in a few minutes. And, you know, like, I'm going to just tell you a few people that popped out and some thoughts that popped out. But Brock Lesnar, I don't know how many people know Brock Lesnar. He was a great big massive guy. Like, he probably weighs 500 pounds. Like, he looks like a freak of nature. He's got so many muscles. I think he has muscles probably in his ears, you know. And then he was into wrestling for a while, and then he decided he would give his hand at mixed martial arts. Before I tell you the rest of the story, wrestling. Okay, so wrestling's fake, but he had to go to the real thing and do hand-to-hand combat. But I was going to tell you, wrestling's fake. My grandfather, he thought wrestling was real. Some of the old guys thought that. And my grandfather loved wrestling. He was a great godly man, but he loved wrestling. And I used to take him to wrestling matches when he was in his 90s, late 80s and his 90s. I'd take him to wrestling. And I can remember one time I took him to Grand Prix Wrestling, and the Cuban Assassin was out there, and he was winning. And my grandfather's like, that old Cuban, he looks good for his age. He said, he's strong. And I'm like, Gramp, like, that's not the real Cuban. He's like, oh, yeah, he is. And I had to explain to him, I'm like, Gramp, that's his son. His son took on his father's role because his father would be like, I don't even know if he was still alive, but dressed like him and act like him. And my grandfather really started, he still thought he was alive. So wrestling's fake for all you guys that don't realize that. But Brock Lesnar, he realized that he was in a different world. He went in there, and he was a strong guy, big, strong, brute, almost scary, intimidating just to look at him, just like maybe David and Goliath. And he took on Frank Mears in his first fight, and Frank Mears submitted him. And if you don't know what that means, ladies and gentlemen, but now in the UFC, you know, you can win by just submission. You either choke him out, you choke him till they tap or lose consciousness, you know, or you put him in an arm bar or a leg bar or something, you make him tap out. So, you know, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about these different guys. I'm thinking about everybody knows Conor McGregor, right? No, few people do. Well, it was all over the news. Conor was this big mouthpiece in the UFC, and he wanted to go over and fight a boxer, and he got a real schooling because he stepped out of his lane. And there was some guys here in the church, and they were like young guys, and they were like, oh, Conor's going to pound him out, you know. He's going to win. He's going to win this fight. And I said, I don't think so. I said, I think Floyd Mayweather is going to give him a little lesson on boxing, because it was in a boxing ring, not a UFC. And he did do that. He just used a skill, stuck in his lane, and ended up knocking him out. And so you can see in sometimes when we get in a fight or we're in, you know, an attack, that, you know, we can get out of our lanes or we can get messed up. And to live this victorious life, we have to find out where our lanes are or where our keys in life that can help us live this victorious life. You know, I want to live a victorious life. I don't want to be defeated by the enemy. I want to win. And we should all have that same mentality, that we want to win. And you know what? In our life, we don't always win. You know, I'll raise my hand. Sometimes I win a battle. Sometimes I lose a battle. You know, sometimes I'll win a battle and I'll lose a battle. But I don't want to be just hitting and missing. I want to be always winning. And, you know, there's some keys in our life that we need to look at. And the first one is to submit every area to God. And, you know, it says, therefore, submit to God. You know, I think we have it backwards right now in society and in our lives. We tend to seem to resist the things of God and submit to the things of the devil. Would anybody agree with that? We find ourselves doing that. And we may not do it all the time, but I think in society, too, we have it backwards. That we're submitting the opposite way. And we're resisting the opposite thing. We need to live the submitted life, you know. And our world, too, it's almost like there's a movement of rebellion. Clear across our nation and the United States. That we don't submit, that we rebel. Maybe we're rebelling against whatever cause you want, you can rebel against it. And this rebellion seems to be against, it always seems to be against spiritual things. You ever notice that? There's a rebellion. Because we have a nation that's afraid to submit now. Or not afraid to submit, just doesn't want to submit. They're being raised in a rebellious, you know, like fight for your cause. Protest over that. Protest over this. Oh, this isn't right. That's not right. Everything's a protest. They rebel. We're rebelling. It's being bred in our children to rebel. Stand up for what you believe. Choose who you want to be. You know? That spirit is coming. But we need to submit to the things of God, is what the Bible says. And resist the devil. And let me read you something here that I think sheds a lot of light. It says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealous, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now that's quite a mouthful there. But I want to just start down through this. So submit. Well, I was thinking about submitting. You know, we have a lot of areas in our life that we don't submit to. And we don't hear this a lot talking about adultery and fornication and uncleanliness. It's not a popular subject when you walk down through all these things that God calls sin in our life. We don't hear them anymore Because our world doesn't want you to hear. They want you to think that those are the normal things in life. They want you to think it's normal. They want you to think that divorce is a normal thing. That maybe you should just trade her in for a new model. Maybe a younger version. You know, just like you're trading cars. Well, I've had this car for 10 years and, you know, I got a few miles on it and it's time to trade it in, get a new model. That's not what God wants. You know, like when I look at that, you know, I look at these things that everyone here has to deal with. You know, me as a pastor, Pastor Ken, we have struggles like everybody else. But we don't hear that a lot about selfish ambitions and about division and about murder and about uncleanliness and about witchcraft and sorcery and jealousies. We don't hear these things. But these are things that we're going to end up, we need to resist. We need to push back on. You know, I think when I read this and it says drunkenness, I think we need to keep some things at arm's length. You know, if your grandfather was an alcoholic and your father was an alcoholic, you better not drink. It's just common sense. And I'm not saying that you should never have a glass of wine, or I'm not saying that, but I think we need to, and we'll talk about recognizing the devices of the enemy. But the Bible says that we need to walk in the Spirit. There's the key. Walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we tend to want to walk in the flesh, right? Something happens and, oh, I don't like that person. And, you know, oh, that person gets under my skin. And, hey, we all are there. You know, I don't like what that my wife did, you know. You know, but we can walk in the flesh. I don't like what my boss did, you know. He's a jerk. You know, we tend to walk in the flesh, you know, and we don't walk in the Spirit. And you see, the Word says to submit to God. So if we're going to submit to God, we're going to submit to His Word. And so when we submit to His Word, what does it say? You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering. It's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithful, gentle, self-control. These are all things that are not of the flesh. But we find ourselves creeping back in doing the things of our old nature. You see, if we want to be victorious in our life, we first have to get this aspect under control. That's submitting to God. And submitting to God means to crucify our flesh. And we read that at the end, like, we need to crucify our flesh. Our flesh would say, oh, I like to pound that guy out, he gets under my skin, you know, rah. You know, or you get cut off in a roundabout. Like, how am I going to get him back? I'm going to speed up and get in front of him and cut him off, you know. Our flesh wants to always get ahead, and instead of us saying, you know, go ahead first, sir, you know what I mean? But we always take offense to that. But if we can really get in our mind about being led by the Spirit and submitting to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, we can overcome these works of the flesh. And you see, we don't spend enough time with that Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our teacher. God left us the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, to be in us, to work us through all this. And what's it say? The Spirit of God is definitely not parallel with the works of the flesh. It's at opposite ends. So we need to be filled up with the Spirit. And we need to allow that Spirit to allow us to submit to the teachings and the ways of Christ in our life. We need to yield our will and emotion. I'm just going to read, it says in Romans, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of the Lord. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Back to Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We need to just submit ourselves, crucify our flesh. Is it easy? No. It's difficult. But you know, when we're submitted to God, when we're committed to God, we're committed to his ways and submitting to him, it's much easier, right, to crucify those fleshly desires. But when we're out there on our own, doing it our ways, we don't do as well at it. And you ever notice that we all do our own lists? I'm going to submit to this area because I don't have a problem with that. And I'm going to submit to this area because I have no problem with that. And this one, and this one, and this one. That one over there, I'm not submitting. They're in the wrong. I'm in the right. I know that. You know what I mean? I'm not submitting to that area because she's got to change. Because I'm right. She's wrong. You see how it goes, eh? We pick and choose what we submit to, or yeah, I like doing that because it feels good to the flesh. I like that one. I'm going to keep that one for a while. I'm not kind of willing to give that up to God. But, you know, that's how we are, right? Or is it just me? Am I the only one that's like that in life? But you see, the Holy Spirit can also convict us of those things too. You see, the more that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, the Holy Spirit, he's our convictor. He can say, oh yeah, you know that list over here, Larry, you made that. Yeah, like, they're not in my list. You know, that's not, you've got to work on those areas, right? And he convicts us and he causes us. And then I say, oh Lord, I need to forgive them people, or I need to not do that. Or, you know, I need to not take that, or, you know. The Holy Spirit is key. So make sure you submit every area of your life to God. And when you do that, it gives you a step to victory in your life. It gives you that step forward. Well, we got one step in. Let's go to the next one. And it's submitting, or no, it's not submitting, but it's resisting the devil. Now, that can be difficult by times. You know, how many times you feel like you resist him and then you fall? He hits you with a blow and you give in to him. But we need to learn to resist. You see, when I was reading that scripture, resist, it also popped out to me about a few things. First of all, we need to recognize the enemy. You know, if you're a UFC fighter and you're training, or you're a boxer and you can be a basketball team or a pro hockey team. You're going to study your opponent. The enemy studies us. He knows what our weaknesses is. He knows where to hit us. He knows what things that will push our buttons. And we need to recognize those things. He's not going to hit us with things that, like, there's certain things he's just not going to tempt me with. Okay? He's not going to tempt me with getting drunk, because I'm not going to do that. He's not going to tempt me with another man, because I'm not going to go out with another man. Bottom line, that's not my temptation. But he knows our weakness. And in your areas you're weak in, beware. That's where he's going to hit you with. And when he hits you in those areas, we need to be a counterpuncher. Because he's saying to resist. Resist is being a counterpuncher. If he comes at you in your finances and says you're not going to make it, you're not going to be able to pay your bills, and you're going to go bankrupt, that's when you hit him with a punch. You say, hey, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's what the word says. Yeah. I hit him back with a counterpunch. You see, we don't have to worry about just one big blow to knock him out. Start hitting him with the word back. If he hits you with sickness, just begin to quote the word back. It says that I'm going to live and not die, and that the stripes of Jesus has made me whole. Begin to hit him back with that. If he tries to hit you in your mind and tries to bog you down with depression or suicide, take the scripture and say, the peace of God is on me that passes all understanding in my life. You see, we just keep hitting him back. And he'll flee. You know, Jesus was tempted, but he used the word against him. Why would we think we're not tempted? But we need to realize and recognize the devices of the enemy that we have to resist. Now, in order to resist them, I want to read two more scriptures before I get into that. Ephesians says, neither give place to the devil. I like this other scripture. It says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Resist him. Now, some of the reasons why we don't do well resisting the enemy and the attacks of the enemy is because we don't realize we have authority. We just don't realize that we don't have to accept that. And authority is a power or the right delegated or given, it says, or authorization. We've been given power. So let me read you in Matthew a couple things. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Jesus said that. All power, he told them, he said, all authority has been given to me. And then it goes on in Matthew. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness. I just want you to keep thinking this word authority. We've been given authority. We've been given authority. Jesus was given authority. And then when he got ready to leave, he gave us authority. In Luke 10, 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And in 18 it says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority again to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing by any means should hurt you. Authority. We've been given authority. Everyone here has been given authority. We have authority. Sometimes we don't realize that. John says in John 14, 12, 14, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. This is Jesus talking. And greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, we've been given the authority. We don't walk in it. We don't live in it. We live defeated. When the enemy throws a punch at us, we accept it because we don't know who we are. I heard a pastor say this, and I thought it was a cool explanation of authority. And he said there was this bank robber coming out of robbing a bank, and he had the money in his hand and his gun. And the police officer was there and said, stop, I've got a gun and bullets. And the robber shot him. Now, digest that for a minute. digest that. The police officer had the authority, had the power, had the means, but what did he do? He didn't use it. And what happened? The robber shot him and killed him. You see, isn't that just like us in life? God has given us the authority in our life to be overcomers and to be strong and to be able to resist the enemy. And we know, sometimes we know it, but we don't use it. And so you have to use it. You have to take the authority, say, you know, all power was given to my Savior, and now he's given me authority in the name of Jesus. He's given us his name. The Bible says that's above every name, and at the name of Jesus, everything must bow. He's given us his blood to use, and we need to use it. We need to say, no, I'm not going to give in to that area. I resist in the name of Jesus. And we hit back. We have to live in the authority and the power God has given us. We're winners. We can live this victorious life here on earth. We don't have to go through life being defeated. But we will if we never take the gun out. It's loaded. This right here is loaded. It's a loaded weapon. It's filled with whatever you want. Big and small. But if you never open it up and use it and just say to the devil, this is what the word says. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not accepting that. Jesus says this. Jesus says this. Jesus says this. Use the authority. Use the authority and resist. Don't let the striker have the last blow. Be a counterpuncher. Don't allow him to submit you, but submit to the one that means everything, Jesus. Finally, live close to God. Submit to God. Resist the enemy with the authority that's been given. And second of all, live close to God. It's hard to make all these things work if you're not living close to God, right? You can't make it work. You got to be close to God. You can't go have vacation for 2 weeks with the devil and then the attack comes on and think, I'm going to fight him back. Because he's already got you beat down so far. You've been living with him. He knows all your weaknesses. He's been with you for 2 weeks. He knows everything about you, right? But when you're close to God, Bible says, the Lord is near you. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. He's close to us. I want to just read some more scripture, and I hope this will give you a little sense of when you're close to God, when you choose to live close to him, some of the benefits and some of the key things that will help you live victorious. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence, perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, neither any plague come near your dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent. You shall trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he shall know my name. And he shall call on me, and I will answer. You don't do that when you're far away from God. And I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, when we're close to God, this is one of my favorite passages. But you know, like, when we're close to God and we get in his presence like that, we can resist the devil. Right? There's times that God just will empower us supernaturally and make a difference. Three simple keys is to submit to God, resist the devil, be close to him, be near to him. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Let's all stand. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. I just want to pray over everyone here today. If you're here today and there's some things in your life you feel that you need to get rid of, you know, just, you know, I'd really encourage you just to give them to God. Say, Lord, I'm going to submit to you, God, in all my ways. These things I don't want to give up, I'm going to give them up. I'm going to crucify my flesh as much as it hurts, and I'm going to just give it to you today, Lord. And if you're like that here today, look, I just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. And I'm going to just pray that God gives us that power to resist the enemy when he comes on us and tries to attack us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone here, Lord, that's struggling in every area, as different areas of their life, Lord, areas that may want to try to control. Lord, I just pray right now that they will give them, Lord, to you, and that they will submit to you today, Lord. I just pray that. Lord, I pray that I'll submit things to you today, Lord, in my life. Lord, we want to be close to you. Lord, we want to be able to resist the devil when he comes to attack. And Lord, I pray for a supernatural strength to be upon our people, Lord, that will empower them, that will give them courage and strength when they feel under attack, Lord, that they'll be able to take the word and that they and the authority that you gave them, and Lord, that they can begin to quote the scripture back to the enemy and get close to God in their life, Lord. I declare these things over our church, over our people, over our families in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray we'll practice these keys, and Lord, that we'll live a victorious life. Lord, I pray that we'll be a church without spot or wrinkle. Lord, I pray that we'll be a church that's powerful. Lord, that are life changers to the people we come in contact, Lord. I pray we'll be full of your power and your anointing, Lord. I speak that on our people, Lord. Make us be soul winners for the kingdom in the name of Jesus. I pray these things. Lord, I pray them in the name of Jesus. Well, digest that stuff this week and try to apply some of that.